Lord, as we reflect on your word, may we respond to your call on our lives and be enabled to assist others in their own response to you. Amen. I love hearing people's testimonies about how they have found faith in Jesus. Such stories tend to build up my own faith too. One of my Christmas presents this year was the book Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus by Nabil Qureshi. Admittedly, I haven't started reading it yet, but I do know that Nabil came to Christ through a series of experiences, including dreams. And he had Christian friends who were able to explain the Christian faith to him. Nabil became a very good Christian apologist, someone who is able to give a reasoned argument for the faith they profess. Sadly, Nabil died of stomach cancer a few months ago, but he maintained a gratitude to the end for the faith he had been given. I think it would be wonderful if more of us would be prepared to relate our own testimonies, our own journeys of faith. And of course, we are asked in Scripture to be prepared anyway to give reasons for our beliefs whenever we are asked. Often, it is the faith of others who have influenced our own faith in the first place. And we in turn are expected to tell others. Certainly it was another's testimony of experiencing the Holy Spirit that encouraged me to seek the same experience for myself. Also, God tends to make himself known in ways that are just right for the person concerned. People are receptive in different ways. And God provides coincidences or the presence of others at just the right time to assist our understanding. We may be those in need of the experience, or we may be those who are used to help the faith development of others. Either way, we need to experience the presence of Christ for ourselves first, before we can influence others to also receive. Let's now explore the two readings for today in the light of these thoughts. As you may know, at the beginning of the book of Samuel, we have the story of Hannah, a barren woman who prayed constantly for the gift of a son. She made the promise that if her request was granted, she would give the child into the service of the Lord. Consequently, when Samuel was born and was old enough, he was placed into ministry under the charge of Eli, the priest. As said, when God reveals himself to us and expects us to follow him, we don't always realize what is happening and need others to help us to understand. We're told that in the days when Eli was a priest, revelations and visions from God were rare. Samuel's experience would be unusual and not easily understood. He had never met the Lord, and certainly had no idea that it was God who was calling him during the night. Three times he heard the call and went to Eli, convinced it was Eli who had wanted his attention. Eli himself was old and had issues with his wayward sons, whom he had failed to reprimand, and did not initially see what was happening. But as priest, he was a servant of the Lord, and on the third occasion that Samuel approaches him, he realizes that the Lord was genuinely calling the boy and tells him to respond with the words, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Samuel duly responds and becomes a major prophet during the following years. We often need people to help our own understanding of God's call on our lives in the same way that Eli helped Samuel. Skipping forward into the New Testament Gospel reading, we have the story of Philip introducing Nathanael to Jesus. It is the same scenario of someone being told and then entering into a relationship with Christ for themselves. Philip had already met Jesus and been called to follow him. Now he finds Nathanael and tells him that he, Andrew and Peter had found the one who had been prophesied to come, Jesus of Nazareth. There was rivalry between the Galilean towns, and Nathanael retorts, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" It is interesting that Philip doesn't enter into an argument about the geographical suitability of where the Messiah should come from. He simply says, "Come and see." Sometimes we don't need arguments. We just need to see the Lord for ourselves. And Philip makes that introduction possible for Nathanael. Jesus indicates that he already knew him and had seen him under the fig tree before Philip had gone to him. Perhaps Nathanael had been in prayer. We don't know. But certainly he responds to Jesus' words with amazement. Jesus saw him as a true Israelite, without any falsehood. Nathanael's ability to see truth enables him to see the truth about Jesus, and he proclaims him as the Son of God, the King of Israel. He believed simply because Jesus had seen him under the fig tree, and now he has promised that he will see even greater things. Philip, who believed, introduced Nathanael to Jesus so he too could believe. That is how evangelism takes place. Now a word of encouragement to all of us here today. We can meet and walk with Jesus wherever we are, whatever we are doing. But church provides the opportunity for the gathering of the whole body of God's people. It is the meeting together of all believers, whether we are new on our journey of faith, still searching, or have been believers for many years. It is not only the place where we learn more about God, but is also the place where we meet with him at a specific moment in time. Samuel was already in God's presence near the Ark of the Covenant in God's temple, even if he didn't know it initially. We are in our church here this morning. Sometimes we are aware of God's presence. Sometimes we aren't. But in our Thanksgiving prayer, we proclaim the Lord's presence through the Holy Spirit. The words, "The Lord is here," are proclaimed, and we reply with the words, "His Spirit is with us." It is a place of meeting with the Lord. Then as we leave, we can carry the Spirit of the Lord with us into the world around us. So, like Philip, we can say to those we meet, "Come and see." Let's just spend a few moments now in silence to reflect on the fact that we are indeed in the Lord's presence.